All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. I'll share with you a beautiful idea today. So the Pasuk says, you can see the Pasuk on top. Reshes bikuri admascha tavi beis Hashem alakecha. You shall bring bikurim. Right? You shall go ahead and bring the first fruits. You shall go ahead and bring the first fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. Do not go ahead and literally cook a kid's in its mother's milk. So what appears to us at just first glance is the prohibition, the isser of basar b'chalev. That one is not permitted to go ahead and eat milk and meat together. So I'm going to share with you, I just thought this was a beautiful insight. If you go to the bottom of this page, so the bottom of the page over here is, again, we're going to look at a piece from Rav Tzvi Yehuda. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda says the following. He says, what does it mean, lo sevashel gidi b'chalev imo? Supposed to remember, again, this idea of not eating milk and meat together, not cooking milk and meat together, generally falls under the umbrella of chukim, mitzvos for which we assume we do not possess a rational explanation. An explanation certainly exists, but I don't know what it is. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda says something here quite amazing and beautiful. He says, Ha'adam sheyoseh chazak mibal ha'chaim, mishtalit al ba'al ha'chaim, v'lokeach es ma sheyotzeh migufo, u'mishtamish bo l'tzorchei chayev. You know, the world has a hierarchy. The world has a hierarchy. And in that hierarchy, ultimately, again, man is stronger than animals. And the way that man, ultimately, a way that strength manifests itself is that man takes what he wants from the animal for his own use. Let's say it's a very important yisod. You know, again, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, or created the animals, ultimately to serve man. So the way man demonstrates his ownership is he goes ahead and he uses the animal, takes what he wants from within the animal, and the animal is there to serve him. This is very interesting. Ulam, yeshmakum lahavin, shebazesh anu mesalkim mibal hachayim esacholav, shemachbid alav, anu osim lotova. Yet, interestingly enough, when a person takes milk from the animal, so remember, again, you're doing the animal a tova. Because remember, if the animal is not milked, then what? It becomes engorged, and the animal, it's painful for the animal. So as such, in that moment when I'm taking something from the animal, it's not just that I'm exerting my mastery and taking what I want and showing that, you know, I'm the man, I can take whatever I want. I'm also doing a tova for the animal. I'm doing something that is of objective benefit for the animal. Okay. Im na'aseh ba'adinus, yesh sad lahatiras lekichas hacholov. Therefore, again, because if done with a certain pleasantness, if done with a certain kindness, then by definition, I understand why I'm permitted to take the milk from the animal. Because at the end of the day, although I'm taking, and although I'm claiming my right and asserting my mastery over this animal, I'm doing it in a manner of kindness. Yachid im zeh, on the other hand, yesh tzorech becheshbon nefesh amuk mo'od, ulevarer ha'im ha'shimush b'cholov hu ke'achilas ha'basar. On the other hand, a person needs a cheshbon nefesh to contemplate whether or not the consumption or the taking of milk is like the consumption of meat. What does this mean? Bachilas habasar yesh be'emetz kitzas gasus. When it comes to eating meat, there is a certain element of arrogance that is present. Shetiru kineged yetzahara. Because remember, again, the whole notion ultimately, again, of the consumption of meat is an idea of it's Shetiru Kenege Yetzahara. Rav Tzvi Yehuda says refers to this idea that the consumption of meat is something that was permitted to offset the Yetzahara. So we'll say, so just to understand what does this mean? So there are certain things that God permitted us to do because He realized that if He didn't permit us to do it, we're going to do it anyway. So therefore, might as well go ahead and make a mutter if everybody's going to do it anyway. So of course, the paradigmatic example of that is Yifas Toar, is the war bride. But again, says Rav Tzvi Yehuda, the consumption of meat is the same idea as well. The consumption of meat is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu was matirit kineged yitzhara, masha'in kim b'shtiyas chalav. Yet, interestingly enough, that's not meat. That's not milk. Meaning, what Yehuda is drawing an interesting just distinction is between the consumption of milk and the consumption of meat, even though they both represent taking something from the animal. What's the distinction? That the consumption of meat has a certain element of arrogance associated with it. Why? Where's the arrogance from? The arrogance ultimately basically is that I'm going to take this life in order to satisfy my life. That's a certain element of arrogance. Masha'in kein, the taking of milk, actually, as much as I'm serving myself, also serves as a form of chesed for the animal. He goes on, he says, Yesh liskar shebasar v'chalav shonim zemizeh. Therefore, it's important, says Rav Tzvi Yehuda, to understand that milk and meat are dramatically different entities and dramatically different hashkaf al sachayim, outlooks on life. Basar musag al yudei hishtaltus al bali chayim baharigaso. So meat represents a mastery over the animal kingdom, over nature, through a taking of life. But again, more than that, it represents a certain element of arrogant,
hierarchy,
thank you. Of arrogant hierarchy, right? It represents this idea that ultimately there's a certain gasos, meaning the notion of going ahead and taking life in order to make myself happy. Although it's my right, there's a certain element of arrogance, but just not to get into this, this is associated with a whole different type of motif about vegetarianism in the Messianic era, Adam HaRishon being a vegetarian. There's a lot of this incredible discussion about the nature. I know it makes people not look forward to Mashiach, but you know, there's a lot of interesting discussion in general just about the man-animal relationship, again, that Adam HaRishon had, changed with the Mabul, changed with Noach, and what's going to be in the future. What we see, who this painting for us, are these two models. There's the Basar model, where man asserts his shlita, his autonomy, his control over nature, but almost in an arrogant fashion. I will take what I want, when I want, how I want, and even if it's your life from my life, that's okay. I'm willing to take that. Versus Chalav, where I'm taking what I want, but I'm able to create a situation where when I take what I want, benefits you as well. He goes on. He says, "Masha'in kein b'chalav sheyish ba afilu tzad shel asiyas tova b'harakas hachalav min balei achayim. Ein ze yofeh v'tzodik lomar shebasar b'chalav chaynuhach." It is inappropriate to say that basar b'chalav are one in the same. Rav Tzvi Yehuda is pointing out over here that the Ribono Shel Olam is teaching us, sensitizing our interaction with the natural world, specifically the animal world, and telling us ultimately again how these two interactions are dramatically different. There's a chalav interaction and there is a basar interaction. And those two interactions are dramatically different, and do not think for a second that they are one and the same. Look at the left hand paragraph. He says, Ala adam la'aro cheshbon choder, kadei lahavin sheyish kan chiluk arocha men basar v'chalav. It is important for a person to go through life understanding this distinction between milk and meat. In kana irbuvio, there can be no mixture. Zeo cheshbon meduktak, me'ein midas hanakiyos shebeseifa mesilas yisharim. Hadrocha elokis musaris zu shalayachas klape abali chayim, mofia mitoch sidra yachasim acheratiyim bin adam lechaviro. We'll say, here it is. Says Rav Tzvi Yehuda, lest you think that the Torah is just sensitizing us to the animal kingdom, the Torah is teaching us about two different drachim, two different approaches to the world. There's a basar approach to the world, and there's a chalav approach to the world. The basar approach to the world is, I'm going to take what I want, when I want, how I want. And the truth is, I don't care about that impact on you. That's not my problem. My problem is to get my piece of the pie. My problem is to do, not my problem, but my desire is to get what I want for me. It's going to adversely impact you. You know what, I'm sorry, every man for himself. That's a buster approach to this world. And there's a chalav approach to this world. The chalav approach to this world is, there are things that I want, but how can I make sure that I want, what I want, also has a way of benefiting you? How can I make sure that my needs do not clash with your needs, but somehow we're able to create this synergistic blending of needs so that we all get something good? It's an incredible yisod. So it begins as an interaction with the animal kingdom, says the Yehuda, ultimately informs and shapes our interpersonal interactions as well.
Kishe
It's important to understand that the lessons of the Torah of Osai are not just limited to one particular circumstance or one particular situation, but rather they give us almost like a global guiding light as to how to properly act. Okay, so we don't have to do the rest inside, but I'll just say this outside. So Osai, I think we could also take Rav Tzihud a little bit further. So let's understand what we have over here so far. So we have over here is Rav Tzihud telling me that basar b'chalav cannot be mixed because basar b'chalav represents two different ideals. The basar represents, again, almost the gasps, almost a certain element of arrogance, of taking the animal's life to satisfy mine. Masha'inkim, the chalav represents what? Yes, I would like the chalav, but amazingly enough, the taking of the chalav also goes ahead and benefits the animal, a mutually beneficial, almost synergistic sustenance partnership. I need something, but my need happens to do something good for the animal as well. Rav Tzihud says this is not just the din in animals, this is supposed to shape how we interact with the world. That there could be two models of human interaction as well. There are basar people, and there are chalav people. Basar people are the people who do not care about the impact of their desires on others. At the end of the day, I know what I need. I know what I want. That's what's important. It's going to trample you. It's going to undermine you. It's going to pull the rug out from you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt you, but I just need my busser. Everybody needs their busser. And so in the pursuit of my busser, I can't worry about the impact in anyone else. So there are busser people, a lot of busser people in this world, and then there are chalav people. Chalav people in this world say, you know what? I know that there are things that I want, things that I need, but how can I make my needs mutually beneficial to you? How can I make sure that my agenda does not shter yours? How can I make sure that in the pursuit of what makes me happy, I don't undermine your happiness? So I will say, I think we can take Rav Tzihud one step further and also say that what it also teaches us is the following, that different times in life call for different types of behaviors, that perhaps there's basar behavior and chalav behavior. So chalav behavior represents collaboration. Collaboration, right? Because remember, when a person milks the cow, he's, so to speak, collaborating with the cow. I'm doing something good for me. I'm doing something good for you. We're collaborating to serve our mutual interests. There are a lot of chalav moments in life, and perhaps one could argue even most moments in life are supposed to be chalav moments of collaboration. But there are also basar moments. And those basar moments are when sometimes you know that something has to get done. You can't always worry about what everyone else wants or what everyone else needs, or you can't even worry sometimes as much about the collaboration. Sometimes when things have to get done, a person has to, you know, pull the trigger, take the knife, you know, to use very dramatic imagery. But a person has to do what has to get done in order to actualize their goals. So this ultimately, again, is what the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to convey to us through this basar b'chalav. Yes, to teach us, first of all, a sensitivity towards the animal kingdom, number one. Number two, a sensitivity, ultimately, again, to the different categories of people that exist in life. Basar people, chalav people. And lesson number three, to teach us that sometimes life is a synthesis of both of these behaviors. Sometimes to strive for the chalav of collaboration, but sometimes also to find the courage to go ahead and find the basar of execution. The basar of ultimately doing what has to be done, even if it's not going to be popular, even if it's not going to make others happy, because you recognize that the goal is noble. All right, so we'll stop over here.